Yeah, well, 8 years old is when Florida lets you start shooting alligators. So I said, tell me, right, 8 years old, that's when you can shoot your alligator. That's when it was legal.
And you have found Ballistic Chronicles. I'm your host, Gary Lewis. This is episode 27 of Ballistic Chronicles. This is where we talk rifles and hunting in the context of big game in the West. We are in the middle of June. I'm counting the days till I find out what hunts I'm going to draw in Oregon's controlled tag drawing. I'm hoping for an antelope tag. I'm hoping for a mule deer hunt out in the desert. I don't expect much out of life. I just want to hunt deer and antelope in the desert. Give me a sheep tag someday. Maybe this year I'll draw a sheep or a mountain goat tag this year when I can't go to the gym, when the gym is closed. So happy you could join us here. If you like Ballistic Chronicles and want to support the show, we're making it easy for you. If you like what you hear here, if you like Ballistic Chronicles, you can sign up to support free speech and hunting and firearms content right here in the internet age. This is Ballistic Chronicles. We bring you stories about guns and hunting, about ammunition. We hold conversations here on the podcast. And if you like it, we invite you over to the other side, the premium side. As a premium supporter, you will get access to our whole back catalog. You get members-only big game calling episodes. We go deep into calling for big game, like calling elk, like calling bears, like calling coyotes, like calling black-tailed deer, like calling mountain lions, and we will hold annual drawings for prizes too. Starts at just $5 a month. Just go to GaryLewisOutdoors.supercast.tech or click through in the show notes. Very excited to have Matthew McFarland on the show. Matthew McFarland is a man of many talents. He's a rifle enthusiast. He's a good example of how to be a father in this modern world. Today we're going to touch on that topic, how to think about setting up a rifle for a young hunter. We're going to talk about kids that are 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 years old. You just can't expect a 9-year-old to carry an adult-sized rifle or shoot an adult-sized cartridge. So this is how we make those kinds of adjustments. Welcome back to Ballistic Chronicles. I'm here with my good friend, Matthew McFarland, or man, maybe you're here with me.
We're here together.
Yes.
I'm here with you, really.
And we've hunted together a lot now. We've been to New Zealand and we've hunted up in Washington together and Florida. But maybe the funnest thing that we did was taking my youngest daughter and your three oldest on a hunt for deer.
That was a fantastic trip.
That was a fantastic trip. And what you told me is the kids don't want to go with a guide. We want to do it on public land or we want to go unguided. I looked around and thought about a lot of different things and we realized we all had canoes and we could get black-tailed deer tags and we could do a hunt with canoes and take these kids and do something that they would never forget. And I know I'll never forget it.
Yeah, I will never forget it. My children will never forget it. And Katie reminded me a few days ago about how amazing that was and that she wants to go back and get bag herself a deer there again this year.
Okay.
Because when we went, she was 10 and not legally allowed to shoot deer in Oregon, except for on a mentor tag. And so I was going to have her shoot on my tag as a mentor. Mm-hmm. But you know, the boys got deer, you got deer, and
my daughter did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The three oldest children got deer.
Yeah.
And you and I both, as I recall, were going back down the river and saw a few deer and the kids were like, why don't you shoot? And we kind of looked at each other. It's like, well, we kind of forgot we had tags.
Yeah.
We just put three deer in the boat.
Yeah. Three deer and three canoes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you embarked on this journey to turn your kids into hunters about the time that my kids were grown up, almost grown up.
Yeah.
So you were following, you know, doing your own thing, but kind of the path that I had gone before. Tell me how this has evolved for you, because you took it in a completely different direction than I did. And one of the things that you like to do is get your as many of your kids as you can on each hunt.
Right. I like to make it a, you know, more of a family outing, getting all of them to go. It's about the experience. You know, I've taken my oldest son when he was 6, 7, 8 elk hunting, which when you take kids like that elk hunting for a day, you're hiking with a rifle.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen lots of ants building their houses and carrying sticks and, you know, watched with woodpeckers and seen lots of amazing things. You know, but when you bring and you're able to bring more of the family along, then the interactions and I feel like the family bonds that the children create with each other are really what's priceless, you know, and experiencing the nature together and having those common things to talk about. You know, really is what does it. And so that's why, you know, I bring them all, give them all the experience, the adventure, you know, plus hopefully make it so none of them ever feel left out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I know that one of your goals would be to have each of your children get an alligator by the time they're 8 years old.
Yeah, well, 8 years old is when Florida lets you start shooting alligators. So tell them, all right, 8 years old, that's when you can shoot your alligator. That's when it was legal. You know, so my oldest son, he approached me and said, well, I don't know, he approached me, we were driving along in the car. He said he wanted to shoot an elk with an Uzi. And, you know, it's like, well, how do you even know what an Uzi is, kid? You know, it's not something that we had laying around the house. You know, I don't know many people that would just play with Uzis or even talk about Uzis at the dinner table. We didn't talk about hunting a lot. It's something that I had done a bunch, but, you know, children were small and it was not something that I had done. Busy taking care of kids and family and work. And, you know, he just expressed lots of interest and, you know, going into Cub Scouting and wanted him to be able to actually shoot the BB gun and not be, you know, disappointed. Taught him to shoot a Red Ryder BB gun. So he's about 6 years old and he would shoot the Red Ryder BB gun in the backyard and learn to use the sights. Well, then he wanted to start hunting and he wanted to shoot, you know, an animal and eat it. We bought him a bow. He had a Matthews Genesis. It was a perfect bow for a kid to grow with.
So this is about the time when we were getting to know each other through our Safari Club chapter.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. And so he was, you know, 6 or 7 at this time because you can hunt rabbits year round in Oregon. You know, we waited till, you know, the magic thing, the month with no R, don't shoot a rabbit. Right. So we made him practice all summer. And then as soon as September hit, I remember Tasha walks in and says, there's a rabbit on the lawn and he's out the door with his bow. And, you know, 5 minutes later, he's got a dead rabbit. And so I taught him how to, you know, skin the rabbit, to clean the rabbit. We had the rabbit on the barbecue. We ate rabbit, you know, and according to him, it was the best meat that you ever could have, you know.
It's pretty good.
I was thinking, oh, we cooked it too fast. It's a little tough. But, you know, he was very happy with it. But, you know, then he wanted, you know, he remembered his elk thing. He wanted to hunt more and more stuff. He was just very interested in what could we go and harvest. He wanted to eat everything, you know, so it wasn't just that he wanted to go shoot things, you know, go shoot the squirrels out of the trees and the birds on the, you know, he's like, oh, we don't eat those. Well, just watch them.
Yeah.
You know, but in Oregon, you can't hunt big game until you're 9 on a mentored tag. And he wanted to hunt big game. Well, Florida, you can hunt alligators, which is a pretty big game.
Yes.
When you're 8. So we did that. You can also hunt pigs, any feral pig in Oregon. They want them gone. Same thing, Florida, feral pigs. You can hunt at any age. So there are lots of places where they have various feral animals. The Texas doll sheep seems to be, you know, in a lot of people's, you know, farms and ranches that they want them gone. And if you find the right farmers and ranchers, you know, they're excited, you know, oh, you have a kid who wants to hunt.
Yeah.
We do have a herd of sheep that we would like eliminated. You know, if you could help us out by shooting one, that would be great. And it gives the kids an opportunity to go and, you know,
learn about conservation too.
Right. Yeah. They hunt for a day. They learn about why they want these animals gone. You know, we've been able to go and see places where wild horses are doing damage and then explain why, well, you don't shoot the wild horses, you know, but see the damage they're doing, see the damage pigs are doing to the ground and, you know, talk about the efforts Oregon has put into for getting rid of them.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go to places like Texas where they're not really putting in any effort to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Pigs on the ground, you can see the damage. But they're definitely running that as a crop that they like to have there and just complain about.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right. Yeah. So, it's even worse in California.
Yeah. And so it's interesting, you know, so it's fun and it's a good way to educate them, you know, right off the bat about conservation. And they can learn what part hunting actually plays in conservation.
Yeah.
So they can see the truth rather than just, you know, listen to the knee-jerk reactions of people around them when they hear that, oh, you like to hunt. You know, it's like, well, they have the experience and they have firsthand knowledge. And,
yeah.
You know, we just show up to them and explain fact.
One of the things that you have to deal with is these kids, you know, as safety conscious and conservation minded as they are, they're small framed and you got to set up a rifle for them or a bow that'll fit them. And that's not easy sometimes, especially when you start really young like you have.
Right. So, I mean, that was kind of the biggest thing. So figuring out the rifle problem, the gun problem was, you know, number one. So we can look at any kind of a proclamation, figure out what you can hunt and where, and that's pretty simple. But just because they'll let you shoot an elephant doesn't mean that, you know, yeah. a five-year-old kid can handle an elephant gun, right?
Yeah.
So you start them out with the 22s, and Savage makes a really good one called a Rascal.
Yes, we have one of those.
Yeah, it's a great gun, and I really like it, and I think it's a really good gun for a person that is older than that gun is made for.
Yeah, I can shoot that Rascal.
Yeah, oh, I shoot the Rascal. It's great. Yeah. The reason why I think it's good for somebody who's older is because it doesn't have a very visible external hammer. Mm-hmm. So things like a Cricket has a bigger external hammer that you can see. So it's easier to look and see if the gun is cocked. So when you're with a kid, you know, walking through the brush, you know, if you think your typical bolt action rifle, you have no idea if the gun's cocked or loaded by looking at the side of it. So I've picked all guns for the kids that you could tell easily. So Rossi and H&R both made external hammer, break action, single shot, and firearms. Rossi made one, I think they called it the trifecta. And it came with three barrels, but they made a scaled down version for kids that only came with two barrels, a 22 and a 410. Mm-hmm. It had a 12.5-inch length of pull, so a short stock for a kid, short barrel. Easy sights with, you know, glowing orange dots. Line the three dots up, put it on your target. Simple to go. But a giant external hammer. You can walk with a kid with a round in the chamber with a 22 hunting a rabbit. And you can look at the gun as you're walking along. So, you know, when you're mentoring a kid, you don't have a gun yourself.
Yeah.
But it's easy to look at that gun and tell that the hammer is down. Mm-hmm. You know, the transfer bars disengage, safety's on, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
Which is something you can't do with the Savage Rascal, something you can't do with a lot of these other guns or guns people modify. So it just gives you that, you know, extra peace of mind.
Yes.
You think of a short kid, you know, a 5 year, 6 or 7 year old that you're walking hand in hand with or right next to, even an 8 year old carrying a gun, standing next to somebody who's, you know, over 5'5", even if they're pointing the gun up in a safe direction, it's really easy for a short movement to bring that muzzle somewhere that you don't want it to be. So just having that extra peace of mind of being able to look at the gun and, you know, encourage safety and, and know what's going on was key. You know, plus it's hard to pull back. So it still takes the adult sitting there. Okay, we'll help you cock it. You're on target with your animal. Here you go. Well, so when a kid wants to take anything besides a squirrel, you know, a duck, you know, so when they get nine, when they turn nine, then they're able to hunt ducks or, you know, animals like that.
In our mentor state.
Our state. You know, go shoot a coot, you know, that kind of a thing. And that's always a great time for a kid, you know, sneaking up through the brush and, you know, the bag of coot. Coots are good to eat as long, you know, cook them well and, you know, cook them correctly or turn them into sausage or something. But it comes a time when you need something bigger than a 410 or a 22. And so really chasing cartridges and chasing bullets is one thing. You can look at ballistics all day long, but you really have to match it to a rifle that is going to have low recoil, be easy to handle by the child to be able to do what they want, and then be accurate as well. And the cartridge that we came around to for being minimal recoil and quite accurate is the 300 Blackout.
Oh, yeah.
And the 300 Blackout, if you shoot 100 grain bullets, you're shooting them at about 1,800 feet a second, 1,900 feet a second. So you're not worried about the subsonic. You're not worried about the suppressor thing. We're shooting a 30 caliber, 100 grain bullet is something that will easily take a deer-sized animal at anything under 100 yards. So you get something that's now lethal with minimal recoil that the kid can handle. You know, the bullet has to be something that will expand. You know, if we're going to shoot at 1,800 feet a second and want to do damage at 100 yards, you need something that's going to open fast and cause lots of damage. So we used high trauma bullets. Cutting edge bullets makes a bullet called the Raptor, which was like the perfect bullet for kids hunting pigs and deer in the 300 Blackout. And then H&R and then Thompson Center also makes an external hammer. But the H&R was really the best gun. They teamed up with AAC and Remington and made a whole line of 300 Blackout rifles. But the H&R Handy Rifle was already kid-sized because they made it short so that, you know, guys wearing the big tactical vests and everything could, you know, mount the gun up over that. So it's a 12.5-inch length of pull, perfect for a kid. Low recoil, single shot external hammer, so I can always see if it's cocked, mm-hmm. and accurate with that 100-grain bullet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And did not take much load development to, you know, be able to easily shoot 1-inch groups at 100
mm-hmm.
yards,
mm-hmm.
and easily took deer and pigs.
Mm-hmm.
We were at on a blind in Florida shooting pigs, and three pigs came in, and one of them got shot with that bullet for the 300 blackout, and it just fell over and didn't move.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two got shot. One was a 308, and the other one was something, a 30-06 or something bigger. I don't remember. But the one that got hit with that bullet fell over dead instantly,
yeah.
and the other two, you know, ran 20, 30 yards.
Yeah.
So, yeah. you know, they had more power going yeah. to them, but mm-hmm. because of the way that the bullet performed, you know, that bullet really put all mm-hmm. of the trauma into the animal mm-hmm. and put it down quickly mm-hmm. and humanely.
Mm-hmm.
So we found with that bullet that the kids could actually hunt, you know, in that cartridge combination, the kids could actually hunt and put down big game sized
mm-hmm.
animals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been perfect.
Yeah. Man, that's fascinating. So now the kids, as they get older, then what do you have them transition to?
Well, so then it's about what they can handle. 243s have been huge with my kids. My 14-year-old daughter has been shooting a 243 since she was 10.
Mm-hmm.
She shot the 300 blackout for, you know, 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we built a Blauser R8 for her.
Yep.
You know, building a Blauser R8 is not a big deal. You just twist two bolts and switch barrels, right?
Uh-huh.
Flip another switch, you can change the
yeah.
bolt head. It's an ingenious thing. But what we did is we cut the stock off,
mm-hmm.
and then we got a shortened barrel, so it was lighter. And then, you know, they all, you know, plastic composite stock, whatever, absorbs some recoil
mm-hmm.
and is amazingly accurate platform. So we made her a cutoff Blauser
okay.
in 243 that she shoots really well. Finney, who's currently 16, when he was 11, he won a 243 at a Ducks Unlimited banquet.
Yeah.
And he used that thing all over the place
mm-hmm.
to harvest animals.
Yep.
And he loved it. He shot animals with that in New Zealand
mm-hmm.
just because it was, again, you know, low recoil. Again, you got to look at a bullet that's going to do what it's supposed to do.
Is that the gun he used when we were on that blacktail hunt?
It is. So that's the first animal he took is that blacktail down in the river.
I remember that buck standing up after we had watched it for 14 or 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then it just flopped right back down.
Yeah.
He shot it so well.
And then he kept saying, I can shoot it through the grass. It's like, no, we're going to wait. We're going to wait. Yeah. But he was confident because he'd practiced a lot and he knew
mm-hmm.
he could hit what he was aiming at
mm-hmm.
with it, you know, good steady rest and,
mm-hmm.
and no problem. And we then took that gun to New Zealand and it
yeah.
performed very well for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that just progression of starting with something that, you know, you can handle and then moving into slightly more recoil. 243 with a 90 grain bullet has more recoil than that, you know, because you're shooting 2,700 odd feet a second.
Yeah.
Or whatever,
yeah.
Has more recoil than does the blackout.
Mm-hmm.
So then they move to the blackout and then they can move to whatever they want. Kind of surprisingly, with everything that I've got, you know, my older kids have pretty much picked the 257 Weatherby as one of their favorites to shoot.
Well, I remember being right next to, it was Chisel, wasn't it? With the
yes.
beef,
yes.
that big old bull in New Zealand.
Yep.
Oh man, he shot with that 257 Weatherby. And then yep. I had the 22 Nosler right
yep.
next to him. And there was no way I was not going to shoot with that 22 Nosler.
Yeah.
But I was backing him up.
Yeah.
And how big was that animal? 2,400 pounds?
I mean, yeah, it was 2,000 plus. I mean, that thing was a monster. That thing was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and that's the thing that he liked about the 257s. Again, he can place the bullets very accurately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the kids shoot everything. His other favorite gun of mine to shoot is a 460 Weatherby, which is
yeah.
kind of funny. You
yeah.
know, all the recoil and beat him up. But that just goes to the rock pit. You know, he
yeah.
doesn't take that one hunting.
Right.
You know, Finney likes to shoot the 700, and then he likes to hunt with his 257.
Yeah. Well, what advice do you have for somebody who's maybe got a 5-year-old and that 5-year-old thinks that they want to go hunting? What do you tell them?
Yeah, I tell them absolutely. Number one is start small,
mm-hmm.
but number two, bring them. I
yeah.
talk to so many adults that just don't bring the kid.
Right.
Is it their, I don't know that we call it self-centered, but they're, well, they're not going to shoot on my tag, you know, the
yeah.
mentor thing at 9 years old.
So there's that. And then there's people who say, well, I don't want to push them into my sport. Well, you got to push them to do something.
Exactly. Kids need to be pushed and they need to be motivated. And they're never going to do anything if you just always leave them home.
Yeah.
So you say, you know, we're going to go do this. You can take them out. And if they don't enjoy hiking in the woods with a gun, okay, you can figure that out after a couple of times, yeah. And it's not for them.
And there's also, but, you don't have to hike either. You can right. sit in a blind.
You can sit in a blind. And that's another skill.
It is another skill.
It's another whole skill set that I think comes with, you know, my kids will sit in blinds well, but I think it's because that they have enjoyed the hunt and they've enjoyed mm-hmm. the walking part, the spot, the stock, and they understand what's going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, start them small and start with something. For me, it's always start them with a gun that I can easily control as the mentor, as the person watching, that I can be comfortable with the safety on. I love the external hammers.
Okay.
I would not take my kids with no external hammers. Yeah. It's got to be external hammers, okay. Shotguns, rifles, whatever it is, until they've proven, you know, even after you've proven it when you're 6, 7, 8 years old. I mean, we're still talking about small children.
Whose brains are not even close to being developed yet.
Right. And, you know, the kids can be as gun safe as possible and they can walk around with unloaded guns and you can watch them do all of the things. You know, I took my kids to hunter safety and they said, I can't believe that they're teaching us this stuff. This is all common knowledge.
Yeah, the stuff they knew already.
It's common knowledge for you.
Yeah.
You know, but.
And that's really the great thing about these mentor programs that a lot of states have now. And
yeah.
I now, as I have grandkids coming up, and starting into this, they're really eager to hunt. I recognize that the mentor program is the way I'm going to get them started in this. And I'm not even going to worry about sending them through hunter education until they're 11 and 12.
Right. I mean, there's not really much reason to.
Yeah.
Because they can hunt on the mentor program. And then the other thing is hunting feral animals. You know, things that landowners and you know, ranch operators want removed.
Yeah, that we can do year round.
There are lots of those folks you can talk to that are very happy to have you come out and help them with their problem. And nothing is more exciting for them than you showing up with the child,
yeah.
You know, the little kid, you know, I'm here with my son, I'm here with my daughter, mm-hmm. I'm here with three of my kids, you know, whatever it is. And we would like to go and spend some time. And when they're showing respect and when they're showing that they're safe, not only are landowners happy to have you there, but they will give you an invitation to come back.
Yep.
You know, they will give you an invitation to come to another property that they might own. You know, we get invitations quite often to come out. Oh, well, will you come help us shoot some ground squirrels? Mm-hmm. And hey, will you come back during coyote season? Will you come back during, what are those things called? They're digging the big holes in the ground. They're like
badgers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we get invitations. Come back and shoot the badgers. The ones that make the holes for the wheel lines to fall.
Man, I've had
how
such
could I go draw a blank?
Bad luck on badgers. I have blown it on badgers so many times. Finally, I got one. But
really? Yeah. Chisel has a nice badger little rug. You know, he made it kind of like a little bear rug that sits in his room.
Well, I think
a cute thing.
I think you got to. A person really should start small with rabbits and ground squirrels and work their way up. Not make it easy for them to have that trophy experience right off the bat.
Right. Well, the truth is the first rabbit is a trophy.
Exactly.
You know, and all of my children have shot, well, three of my four children have shot a rabbit. My youngest had no interest in shooting a rabbit. Mm-hmm. She likes to shoot pigs.
Oh, but, there you go.
You know, we shoot the rabbit. And then it's a very easy small animal to clean and to practice skinning on and to understand that whole process and to be able to throw on your barbecue right now. You know, it's not like when you go shoot a deer, you're not eating deer steak that night.
Right.
You know, you shoot a pig, you're not eating pig steak that night. There's all the processing and, you know, it's probably an easy way to make your kids hate it first thing. You know, go shoot that thing, make them gut it. And you eat it sometime 2 or 3 weeks later. Whereas, you know, the small game, you know, going after a pheasant or a chucker, you know, something like that, where the kids can get out, really enjoy nature, see what things are doing, understand the conservation behind it, learn where the animals live, learn what the animals eat.
Yeah.
Why we're doing it the way we're doing. Why do we hunt in this specific way? Why are we hunting this animal? Why do they want pigs gone? You know, looking at those kinds of things, it was really helpful because it just educates the child.
What about how long you spend out there when the kid is 6, 7, 8, 9 years old and their attention span might be shorter? How do you manage that?
Well, when you go elk hunting with a kid that old, you remember that elk hunting takes you a week to get to bag an elk. So you plan on not getting an elk.
Yeah, you plan on not getting an elk. Yeah,
you plan on going for a walk in the woods, and maybe you see some across the way. Maybe you do, and absolutely people will walk into them. But really, you just have to pay attention to the kid's attention span. Because if you're doing this for your kid, If you're doing this for the child, then you need to match the child's attention span.
Yeah.
And the attention span might be an hour, so that means you're out there for three. You mm-hmm. know, this is not just...
And you call it an elk hunt, and really yeah. you were just driving around.
It's an walking. Elk hunt. It's yep. an elk hunt. We found yep. elk, you know, you found elk poo, and yep. we found elk tracks, and then yep. went this way, and how old are the elk tracks? And mm-hmm. When my son was maybe 13 or 14, he sat on a tree stand that had a camera at the bottom of it. And when we got the camera photos, you know, a week later, he left the tree stand about 45 minutes before all the big elk walked through.
Yeah. You
know? I mean, so just yeah. doing things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, he had that much of attention span in the tree stand. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to make it miserable for him.
Yeah. I like bringing snacks too.
Oh yeah. Lots of snacks. It's always about the snacks. I mean, for me, half of it's just having a picnic, you know, yeah. you hike out, have a picnic. And when you're sitting still and watching, you get to see what the animals do. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen foxes run around. We were hunting in a place where there were two other hunters we could see, mm-hmm. you know, in their orange across a couple of ravines. And these two guys were sitting next to each other. And the wind was blowing in such a way that there was a fox that didn't know they were there. Mm-hmm. And so my son and I, just watching through the binoculars, watched this fox just running all over and running up and down and, you know, playing around next to these guys and laughing that they never mm-hmm. saw the fox.
Yeah.
The fox ends up running up, seeing the hunters, saying, holy cow, and, you know, taking off.
Yeah.
We watched this unfold for a half an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was just as good as bagging an elk that day.
Yeah.
Is,
yeah.
You know, watching that experience unfold,
yeah.
seeing his excitement of that
yeah.
go on.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all of those stories. It's all of those experiences that really make it. You know, people talk about hunting. It's not, you know, all day, every day, stalking and crawling through the grass. You know, I had a daughter who did a belly crawl for, you know, an hour and mm-hmm. a half so that she could sneak up on a bison.
Yeah.
That's not what it is all day, every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's mostly a lot of downtime and, you know, looking at nature, paying attention mm-hmm. to what's going on around you and, mm-hmm. you know, waiting till the right time to hunt. There's not a lot of sense in looking for animals to move at noon when
yeah.
you know they're asleep.
Yeah. Well, it's become clear to me that that time that I spent with my children when they were growing up fishing and hunting is some of the best times that we had together. You know, we did it a lot. And I wouldn't let those girls talk to boys until they had each killed a deer and caught a steelhead. And, you know, I was going to do it over again. I might set the bar even higher.
Make them also get a bear.
Yep. Yep, that's right. Well, thanks.
Yeah, sure.
It's great getting that input. And I really think people need to sit back and take a look at what they're really trying to accomplish here. And if it's spend time with your children, you know, this is a good way to do it.
Yeah, it's a fantastic way. One-on-one time where there's no distractions mm-hmm. except for Mother Nature and the world itself.
They learn so much through the discipline.
Yeah. And it's like you said, my kids are talking to me about things they did when they were 5 years old.
Yeah.
It comes up all the time.
And I know that I could have used that time to go pursue my own interests and my own
sure.
trophy hunting goals, my life would have been poorer for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
A giant rack on the wall versus the stories that we tell day in and day out.
Yeah.
You know, there's no comparison.
That's right. Hey guys, if you like what we're doing here on Ballistic Chronicles, you can support the show and get in-depth hunting content you won't get anywhere else. Just go to GaryLewisOutdoors.supercast.tech or click through in the show notes. That's GaryLewisOutdoors.supercast.tech. Or click through in the show notes.